Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 337, your week four Fab preview. We're going to get you team-by-team schedules, two-step pitchers, targets, and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, man. More cousin time, or more nephew time, I guess I should say, cousins and my kids tonight. But no pickup basketball. Took it easy. It was more throwing the football around. Kept my shoes on this time. Yeah. Did a little air hockey, something a little bit more age appropriate for me. Yes. So doing well on that front. Happy Masters Week to you, my friend. Got my little buddy here, the little gnome. I moved him up front and center behind my prop behind the stage here. Great first day at Augusta. I know we're a baseball pod, but good golf is near and dear to our hearts as well.
I figured you'd be in a pullover or something to rub it in a little more.
I'm not going to show too much, but I am rocking the Masters boxers
today. I was about to say, remember that AI camera. Don't get too aggressive.
Yeah, I know. I got this AI camera that follows me. I'm not going to do anything here, but we are rocking the undergarments Master themed today. We'll throw some more apparatus on throughout the weekend. Don't worry about it. I'll be all right.
Well, I saw the coffee mug this morning. So yeah you're doing
the
just
coffee
fine.
Mug, of course. Every Thursday is the coffee mug, just because it's a new tournament. But man of routine.
Yeah, man of routine. That is for sure. All right, let's get the routine started. Then let's get a couple bits of news and notes here. Kyle Stowers set to begin a rehab assignment this weekend. He might even play some first base. That's been a popular thing. He looks rather healthy when he's been hanging out with the Marlins, taking BP, running. The rehab assignment hopefully doesn't take too long. We get him back, I guess, end of next week, which would be a possibility. Maybe a little longer if they want to ramp up a little more. But Stowers should be back shortly, Ryan. And then the Marlins have some decisions to make. Griffin Conine left with an injury today, so maybe that's it. De Los Santos apparently is going to get called up. See how that goes. But for now, Stowers, maybe a week or so.
Yeah, and when I think pretty still widely stashed. So when Stowers is back, get him going. You hope Stowers doesn't continue down this injury prone path, because it's now been a couple consecutive injuries here of kind of soft tissue stuff. So you don't like it. Agree. I guess some decisions. Let's see what they do with like Owen Casey. He's probably too hot to bench right now, but even still, just a platooner. Griffin Conine, I don't think, is getting in the way of anybody. But interesting that they call up De Los Santos, who I still think, I don't know, probably won't get regular playing time, especially once Stowers is back. So it'll all kind of settle. But yeah, once Stowers is available and returning, get him in your lineups, because that power looks pretty damn good to me. It looked good last year.
Especially in a world where everybody is stressing him out about the lack of power to start the season. You might as well go good after that. So yeah, see how that one goes. Brent Rooker, speaking of power, left Thursday's game with, I love how these teams all kind of do it differently.
The flank.
A flank injury. A good flank steak, by the way, is phenomenal. If you guys can go find one, really good stuff. Like, it's kind of a mixture of a skirt steak in the middle. It's in the middle of like a skirt steak and a ribeye to me. It's very, very, very good stuff.
Bubba, much more well-versed in the red meat version of flank than the body part, which I still don't know where the flank is. I know you don't know either.
It's like the oblique. I know I have it. Mine just hides under layers and layers of fat, but it exists. It's basically an oblique injury. So he's going to undergo more testing. He didn't make it sound all warm and fuzzy, by the way, when they asked him after the game how he was feeling. So maybe it was just in the moment. He feels better in the next day or two. But yeah, we'll have to kind of wait and see on that one. But not great, Bob, is the way I'd say it. Maybe Kobe Thomas gets a call-up or something. But for now, Rooker undergoing more testing. We should have an answer by Fab Sunday.
Should have an answer by Fab Sunday, but it certainly doesn't sound great. I don't know. I mean, you've probably got a better pulse on it than me, but like, the A's aren't really that deep. They got like Carlos Cortez on the bench, maybe against righties. Doesn't seem like there's a decent Fab pickup / fill-in for Brent Rooker, at least for me. They do get six righties next week, looking ahead to the schedule, kind of previewing Fab. So maybe your guy Carlos Cortez is an option, but let's see how the weekend lineups go, and also let's see how Brent Rooker's prognosis turns out.
Yeah, he could be the fill-in because most of the minor league options are all right-handed, which is not great. Zach Gelof's crushing baseballs, for those of you curious.
There you go.
Colby Thomas is a masher, but you want him versus lefties. So, yeah, we'll have to kind of see how they play this out. Since it is a DH situation, you can mix and match and see where that one settles.
We need some Zach Gelof in your life. I have a feeling you're going to play a lot of the hits tonight with Gelof and a few names that we're going to name later on in the show, I'm sure.
Oh, it's a beauty. But first off, talking about hits, Parker Meadows ran in and hit collision with his teammate, and it did not end well. Parker Meadows is currently in a hospital in the Detroit area with a concussion. He bit the inside of his mouth. That's why there was blood everywhere. You listen to AJ Hinch's interview when he said he walked out and saw the scene of the crime, basically. It wasn't good. So they're really concerned about him. I would imagine Meadows is going to be out for a while to make this one right with the whole concussion and everything. Wensiel Perez made a man on the scene on Thursday. Wensiel Perez is on his way to Detroit. You're a Wensiel guy.
I am definitely a Wensiel guy. I took Wensiel Perez in the Vegas auction reserve rounds. Obviously dropped him, but maybe back in if Wensiel Perez is in fact up. It sounds like that's going to be the case. The guy's not bad. I was actually surprised that Detroit sent.
The guy's not bad.
It's pretty good, man. Seriously, 15 teams.
I just love the way the tone with that.
Love that guy. Honestly, I think he's a decent pickup if Wensiel is the move. It definitely, and I mean, the concussion thing with Parker Meadows, that just totally sucks. Because actually, I mean, he was off to a semi-decent start playing most days in the bottom of the lineup. We all know the kind of the injury pass with Parker Meadows, and then to have that with a concussion, obviously, you know, you think of Meadows as health first and foremost, but that could also screw things up baseball wise for quite a bit. We've seen that in recent years. Anthony Rizzo comes to mind, almost kind of ended his career pretty much, never really the
Justin
same.
Justin Morneau. That was a bad one.
Yep, that was a bad one. So hopefully not as severe with Parker Meadows, but I am expecting an IL stint there. Expecting to drop Meadows where I've got him in a few spots and probably will be looking at Wensiel Perez. Cause I do think if Wensiel Perez is called up, I think he will play because I don't know what else the Tigers really have there. I guess, I mean, Javi Baez is playing shortstop. You could do some Matt Vierling. He's been playing a little bit of outfield.
Play the all-star.
Who's the all-star? McKinstry?
Yeah.
He's already playing. He's like their second baseman.
Oh, that's right, because they have Colt Keith. They're doing a lot of weird things for that roster.
Yeah, they're doing a lot. Yeah, Glaber's DH the last few days. So who knows? This will be an important weekend to see. But I'm just saying if Wensiel is in the lineup and playing regularly, I think he's actually a pretty decent pickup in 15-teamers.
Yeah, not fully opposed to that. Last bit of news, game still going on in San Diego. But Hunter Goodman left the game after getting hit by the pitch in a hand for the second straight game. He was running the bases, and they made him leave because his finger was bleeding. He has a laceration on one of his right fingers. He's day-to-day for now. We'll have to wait and see. As long as they can kind of just stop the bleeding, he can still DH. So time will tell on that one, unless there's actually more damage in the hand.
Yep. I always wonder. I always worry about that stuff, but probably will be okay. If not, who is your guy in DC's?
Fulford, baby.
Yeah, Braxton Fulford.
He was up like the first week of the year and playing well. And then they sent him back down because they need three catchers. Like, if he gets called up, don't think I won't be excited about that, at least for my DC shares.
All these obscure players you get excited. Granted, I just waxed poetic over Wensiel Perez for 5 minutes, but no, you were all over Braxton Fulford late in DC's. Probably for nothing here because Hunter Goodman's probably going to be fine, but
yeah,
figured I'd throw you a bone.
I need him to be fine. They do. I need him badly to be fine. Yeah. All right. That's the news for the day. Let's get to week 4, Ryan. What do we got cooking this week?
All right. Let's flip this thing over. We've got, as usual, for the YouTube crowd, for those watching, we've got our weekly planner, which has schedule grids for the current and next week. Weekly hitter projections, a starting pitcher planner. This is a live tool available to all of our Patreon subscribers. If you want to support the show, we would always appreciate that. But we'll run through each team, of course, like we do every week. Couple kind of macro things to look at. A lot of games next week. Again, no more five-game schedules, but you got the Orioles and Yankees playing seven games. You've got the Guardians seven games. The entire AL West is seven games. There's some kind of weird, I think, wraparound series between the Mariners and Houston, where those two teams play each other on Monday and then do two, three-game series the rest of the week. So keep an eye. I don't know what time that game is, but that could be an early – that feels like an early lineup Monday type
usually,
of deal.
Usually, yes. Usually a getaway day Monday. Yep.
Yep. So then you got the Nationals seven games, Pittsburgh seven games, and every other team with six. You have the swinging Sacramento A's at home all week, which is nice. Swinging and missing Sacramento A's lately, but they will be at home for a full week, which is good. Other kind of home away splits we're interested in. Colorado, they are, the Rockies are on the road at Houston. Potentially, well, we've got Christian Javier on the planet. That's probably not going to happen. Spencer Arrighetti and Emi would get road Rockies. And then the Rockies host, they're at home at Coors next weekend against the Dodgers for three. And then last but not least, the Cincinnati Reds, they also have a split week. They host the Giants for three in Great American Small Park, and then they go on the road to Minnesota.
Yep, good looking week of action. We're on the schedule now. It'll be seven, or a full week in Sacramento, then a full week out of Sacramento, the full week in Sacramento, and we'll go back and forth.
Yep,
that one's simple. Last year, Colorado was on the same schedule, but not so much this year. So, which I don't mind. It kind of changes up the whole let's pound streaming with these guys type thing. So, yeah, we'll see where that one goes. But yeah, full week. A third of the league plays seven games this week. So. That's pretty sweet as well. Let's get to it. Baltimore Orioles in their horrific City Connect jerseys.
Truly horrific.
Like truly. The worst part is I dig the hat with the letter B as for Bubba, I could rock the hat. But that be more better is what I would tell them.
You've got Wisco. I don't know.
Yeah, Wisco's a bad one. Pretty much the Pirates one's awesome.
Pirates one is good, but
San Diego.
This is year three. I know we sound like old men here. This is year three of City Connects. Do we need to keep connecting with cities every year? Like the first year was cool. A lot of good designs, but like it's hard to reinvent the wheel every single year and do a new thing. They do
every 2 years. It rotates because the Giants had those creamsicle ugly ass ones for 2 years. Now they have the whatever my T-ball team wears going right now. It's all kinds of all over the board. But yeah, the funny thing I saw is the Brewers is supposed to be a City Connect, and they made a state shirt. It's not even a city thing, which is pretty funny to me. The Braves is pretty sweet. I don't mind that. So the Braves, the Pirates, and the Padres I'm in with. The other ones, not so fast.
But. Come here for the fashion review, not the fab preview. The fashion review.
When people see me, they think fashion.
Same.
Yeah.
I am personally wardrobe. Literally, probably more than half my wardrobe is FPAS t-shirts and Rotowear.
I won't go any farther, but yeah, it's
some baseballism, which you're wearing right now. Baseballism.
So. And I probably do half my podcast this because it's my nighttime shirt. I have my basketball shorts, so I don't know because I plan on going to bed after this show. So this is what we're doing here. All right, behind the curtains is over. Baltimore Orioles, seven games this week, three at home versus Arizona, four at the Cleveland Guardians. Looks like we got three lefties and four righties on tap for you. I guess if you want any type of split, the weekend it's one lefty and two righties, part of that Cleveland series. But Cantillo's been dealing, Guardians have been dealing. So not the easiest of week just to stream for Baltimore if you so choose, Ryan.
No, I don't see, at least on the hitting side, many pickups here. One guy I just wanted to bring up was Sam Basayo.
Yes, very important.
Yeah, it's obviously not a pickup, but it's more like, what do I do if I have Samu Basayo? Because so far he's hitting 167 through 34 plate appearances with 38% strikeout rate, 18% swing and strike, which is a lot of swing and miss. And as the Orioles tend to do with their prospects, the leash has not been very long for Samu Basayo. He has sat three of the last five games. So I don't know. You're the catcher guy, but like it sure seems like Baltimore is not being very patient with Samuel Basayo.
Well, I'm just going to say this as nicely as humanly possible. This is what I was worried about. The entire draft season.
I mean, yeah.
Between Rushman and Basayo.
There's other options at catcher DH.
Well, like while you were talking, I got Ross Resource up. The Orioles have had a different DH for six straight games. Basayo was one of them. They've been using it as a day off tool.
Yep.
And I don't see that changing with the, like, if they're willing to use Dylan Beavers as a DH for one day, it's pretty much all you need to know on this situation. You're going to hold him. You're probably still going to play him and hope things change. I'd be ready to pull the pin by May 1st if it doesn't. That's all I'm going to say. Like, he's too talented to just drop. And I hate carrying three catchers. If you want to carry a third catcher, if like in a 12-team league, and you know, like Braxton Fulford gets called up or something, I'm just kidding. If there's an option at catcher, sure. But you're not going to find many guys in the wide that's better than Basayo. So it needs to be like you're pulling the pin on him to replace him at this point. And I wouldn't pull the pin just yet. But it's not good. It's not good at all.
He's a hold for me as well, but a very, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Not a good scene.
Not great. And then I do want to hit up the bullpen or the rotation here because with Eflin going on the IL, Cade Povich is scheduled to pitch on, I think it's Friday. Sunday. He's scheduled to pitch Sunday.
Giants.
Yeah. But they're saying it's just for one trip. I don't believe that because obviously Eflin's out for the year. So it's either Povich or Kramer comes in. It's one of the two. So kind of keep an eye on that if you want to take. I think Povich is good. We talked about Povich a ton last year's streams. The command is wanky. There's no denying that. The strikeout skills are great. Like the guy can be a really, really good guy if he can harness the command. And that's a big if, but a lot of young pitchers have that. So he's a guy. He's more of a matchup play than a full thing. But watch the start Sunday. Maybe we get some more news over the weekend, but it's either going to be him or Kramer more likely than not. Trey Gibson, the long shot third, it sounds like.
And if Povich does make another start for the Fab Week that we are speaking of, it would be at Cleveland next Friday. So
pretty good
stream there. So yes, keep an eye on Cade Povich. That's the other name who I took note of for Baltimore. So that's all I got for the O's.
Beautiful for the O's. Boston Red Sox, they have six games this week, three at Minnesota, three versus the Detroit Tigers at home, two lefties and four righties at Minnesota. It's all righties on deck, and one of them is Bailey Over. So what do you have here for the Red Sox?
Not too much. A little bit of concern. I've got, I won't say an unhealthy amount, but I've got some Jarren Duran in my life and has sat two of the last three games, one of which was a righty. So similar to like the Basayo thing, I'm not doing anything yet. And Duran for me has a much longer leash than Basayo, but would like to see Jarren Duran play a little bit more. But outside of that, I don't have too much here. It sounds like so far year two of the Marcelo Meyer experience is not going much better than year one. I know it's only been 33 plate appearances, but striking out in one third of those plate appearances and hitting 172. So that's not great either, but I don't really have any kind of pickup advice for Boston, at least on the hitter side.
Yeah, I got nothing on the hitter side. I really don't have anything on the pitching side.
I mean, yeah, actually, I don't have anything on the pitcher side either. That's pretty stable.
It's almost the same lineup every day, and knock on wood, people are healthy in Boston pitching-wise. So nothing really changing for me right there. The only thing is, listen to the show with Greg Jewett. He did mention keep an eye on Chapman over and in potentially target Whitlock as a stash if needed. So something to think about. All right. New York Yankees, seven games this week, all at home in the Bronx, four against the Angels, three against the Royals. You know, if the Royals are on tap, we got lefties. And the Angels are bringing some too. So four lefties and three righties for the Yankees this weekend, Ryan.
Yeah, which so only facing three righties on the week is a little bit of a warning sign, right, for Trent Grisham. You may want to look at other outfield options for next week. If you've got Grisham, I think Ben Rice is going to play no matter what, but maybe a day or two off for Ben Rice next week. I wonder if Ahmed Rosario, he started three games in a row and in a lefty heavy week with four lefties, I think Ahmed Rosario is going to play at least four times, double donged earlier this week. I've always loved Ahmed Rosario. He just hasn't played in like the last couple of years, but could see some reps if you're in a deeper league. Ahmed Rosario, I don't even know where he qualifies. I'm sure different places, right, but But I actually don't mind Ahmed Rosario as a deep league pickup this week.
You know what's crazy? Only third base right now.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he just hasn't all played. Over the place.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you've got to like technically play 40 games to qualify at multiple positions, and Ahmed Rosario has had trouble doing that. So would not have guessed third base only for sure.
But he's already played third and second so far in these three games. They want to get him in the lineup. Like, they sat McMahon one game, then they played McMahon at shortstop another game. So they're moving pieces around there. Rosario's probably better than McMahon, to be totally honest with you, especially if there's four lefties on tap. I wouldn't be shocked if Rosario plays at least five of the seven games, if not more, next week. So yeah, as a stream, definitely in play, especially in a deeper league. He'll be added in a lot of deep leagues. When I talked to Ben on Monday, I wouldn't be shocked if he's adding at least two-thirds of the main events this week. Like, that will happen. The other bit of news I did want to mention, Anthony Volpe is set to start a rehab assignment next week. The goal is to still have him back close to the beginning of May, give or take, five, six, nice. Maybe like a week into May, but the goal is around May 1st. Between May 1st and May 7th, essentially, is the goal. I've seen a few times. So Volpe, if you can stash, I've seen him kind of picked up here and there of late. That would be a guy to target. What else? Are you looking at anything else with the Yanks?
Just the other side of the Volpe thing would cost Jose Caballero playing time. So if you have Caballero, you're getting steals there. That may not continue unless someone else gets hurt, which could certainly happen. The only other thing I have on the Yankees is Luis Gil is coming back next week. He actually gets he's set to pitch Wednesday as of now against the mighty Angels and Jack Kochanowicz. So, you know, I'm not the biggest Luis Gil guy out there. Haven't been. He's 69% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. So this is more maybe a start sit. I think if you have Gil, you throw him against the Angels, but I wouldn't go crazy in Fab. I don't know. I don't think he's okay. He's serviceable.
To be fair, we get to see Gil throw Friday evening to get wet our whistle. Want to see how that thing goes.
True. So, yes. Good point.
Yeah. Just know he's had his good starts, but he's also been walking people to no end or just gets lit up. Like, I made the joke recently that it was crazy to think the guy ran away with the rookie of the year and then he just can't keep a job in the big leagues since then. It's a wild world out there. Tampa Bay Rays, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three at the White Sox, three at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pretty nice week of action, if you ask me, if you like a Tampa Bay hitter. You got one lefty and five righties on tap. And weirdly enough, all they've been facing is righties. So you should have a pretty good idea of who's playing this week.
Yeah. I have Cedric Mullins in some leagues. I'm definitely starting him with a really good schedule. Like, I don't know how or why Jake Fraley continues to hit third in this lineup. Like, it's not that bad of a lineup. Nope. And Jake Fraley is in between Jonathan Aranda and Junior Caminero. I don't know. Maybe the Rays like Jake Fraley, and playing time may be there this week. So if you want to be in a 15-team streaming business, that could work. Outside of that, not much. Taylor Walls is back up. Carson Williams got sent down, but that's not really fantasy relevant.
Yeah, the only other stuff I have would be the bullpen. Baker seems to put a full lock on that one. He's 82% rostered in 12 OCs. So if you're lucky enough to be in those 18% where he's not, be prepared to open the billfold on that one.
Got a save on Sunday, or sorry, a win on Sunday, a save on Monday, and has pitched pretty well. What did Jewett say on Baker on the Rays?
He likes him. He's probably got the gig for now. I wouldn't give up on Griffin Jacks though. And then Yusetta comes back later this month. So there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking in Tampa Bay, but he feels like it's Baker's job to lose right now. Like, he's done enough to keep it. So it's a weird dynamic. Like, he wouldn't be surprised if it gets mixed and matched and stuff still happens, but Baker seems to be the guy. Yeah. It's not a great feeling. It's like over half the league feels this way right now. It's awesome. Like that closer monkey tweet I put in the Discord where it's something like there's been like only, yeah, I can't remember, like 30 something players have at least a save already this year. It's bonkers. All right, Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games this week, three at Milwaukee, three at Arizona, all righties for the Toronto Blue Jays, a team that really needs to get their stuff together because it's been a slow start to the season for the Jays.
Very slow start to the season. Still bitter about Kevin Gausman and two wins he should have, but doesn't. I'm always going to say Jesus Sanchez in a righty heavy week, so that doesn't change. Especially
still swinging it well.
Yeah, swinging it pretty well. And I mean, hitting like second or cleanup against righties most of the time. So you got to like that to a lesser extent. Your boy, Nathan Lucas.
I thought you were saying Clement.
No, I will. I would never speak of Ernie Clement. I don't even know if Nathan Lucas is 15 team viable.
He's on the struggle bus right now, but he'll play. He should play a lot if that's your jam.
Should play a lot, but we're bearing the lead here. The legend makes his debut, his season debut on Friday. Patrick Corbin faces Minnesota and then would turn around and get a tough spot next week at the Brewers, which we talked about on the Tuesday episode. Brewers are a damn good lineup right now. So I'll leave it up to you. You're the Corbin guy. Let's see how he does Friday night. Corbin against the Brewers is a tough start. I like Corbin on Friday night against the Twins. I don't know about the Brewers, but again, you are the most owned Patrick Corbin owner out there. So I'll let you speak.
Yeah, if you're in a daily league, go pick up Patrick Corbin is all I'm going to say for that Twin start. Like, please, God, do that. Problem.
I'm not. I'm in a daily league. I'm not doing that.
Because you like to finish runner-up to your family. The problem is if you want to twist the Brewers thing, because, yeah, I don't like the Brewers start at all, it is a getaway day. So you might have guys sitting that day. That's the only conversation I have. And then if you look at the long-term pitching schedule, they're expecting Trey Savage back to bump Corbin from the rotation. My thing is, I don't know if that bumps Corbin from the rotation for two reasons. Scherzer's going to have his arm fall off sooner than later.
Right.
And second, they actually signed Corbin. So it makes me wonder, like, does Eric Lauer go back to the long man role like he did last year? So, yeah. And if that's the case, if he takes Lauer's spot, that's at the Angels like the following week. So,
That'll be interesting.
Let's get there. I'm just saying, like, this might just be a couple starts and then who knows what happens otherwise, or it's a pretty nice matchup in 2 weeks.
Because Lauer hasn't pitched well either, but he was sick. Like, I think he pitched with an illness
in his most recent start.
So, yes. But yeah, that could be an option. I mean, Lauer was not in the rotation originally for the Blue Jays until injuries came up. So,
Last year he worked out of the pen a lot. So that could be a thing. Keep an eye on it. But yes, everybody enjoy your Friday evenings with loved ones and Patrick Corbin. Like, it's going to be great. If we had that wonderful device called Playback, would be really fun. But we don't.
Yeah, I think fortunately I'll be at T-ball practice while Corbin's pitching. So either way, when I open the phone after practice, it's going to be fireworks one way or the other.
Yes, it will. All right, the AL Central, Chicago White Sox, 6 games, 3 at home versus Tampa, 3 at Sacramento, which you love to see. It's 3 lefties and 3 righties, though. It's 2 lefties and 1 righty versus Tampa, 1 lefty, 2 righties versus the A's in Sacramento, if that makes any streaming options in play for you. But, Ryan, what do you like here as Austin Hayes is no Moss, and they're kind of just putting it together. Like, Tristan Peters keeps playing baseball, and I'm not recommending Tristan Peters, but he's still playing baseball for the White Sox on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really recommending anyone on the hitting side. There's just with the Hayes injury, like, there's just not good depth to replace it. And I mean, the semi decent White Sox are already owned, so I don't have much for
Chase Pydross. Only 44%. Feel free to add him anytime you want. Just gonna throw him out there.
I figured you would. Like I said, we're playing all the hits tonight. We got. Whoever the hell was first, I already forget. And then Corbin and now Chase Mydraw.
Mydraw's leading off every day. Gets 3 in Sacramento. That's a stream, baby. Get it.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, you make a semi-decent point. So, yes. What about on the pitching side, it's interesting. I can't believe Shane Smith was sent down. Their opening day starter is now in the minors. didn't look great, admittedly.
That just feels like it's a mechanical adjustment. So, like, go get your head right. We'll see you in like 3 weeks.
Same. Had a bunch of Ks in his most recent start, but I think 4 or 5 walks. So something's probably not right there.
He had 8 Ks with 5 walks and like 2 1/3 or whatever his last outing.
Yeah, that's a tough watch if you're watching that. There's not many balls in play there. Our good friend, the Cannon, Jonathan Cannon is back in our lives. Cannot recommend that one. One interesting name. He pops on the live Bloom boards as the most skilled pitcher under 50% rostered so far this season. Again, it's been two or three starts. It's Sean Burke. He's got a 24% K rate, 5% walk rate. Again, he's throwing strikes, not missing a ton of bats, but gets a two-step. It's a deep league spec type of play, but I just wanted to at least throw it out there. As you're just trying to look for anyone who has some skills, it is Sean Burke. He would face the Rays on Tuesday. The second half of that one's tough though at the A's. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out. I mean, the A's haven't been good this year so far, but they also haven't played at home much. But just throwing out at least someone who pops on an early skills leaderboard that's widely available.
It's just ironic. I was 1 year too soon on that Burke versus Smith beer bet.
You were correct.
Right now, it's polar opposites at the moment. So
correct, but too bad.
Go figure. Yeah, it's all good. Cleveland Guardians, they have 7 games, 3 at St. Louis, 4 at home versus Baltimore. Really nice set of matchups if you go by K to walk percentage opponents for the Guardians, but it's 3 lefties and 4 righties, which kind of deters certain things there, unless there's a certain maybe second baseman you want to talk about, Ryan.
Yeah, we're going to give a shout out to Martin Sokolsky, who does a lot of just great prospect work in general, but is going to be contributing some prospect call-up reports for us for kind of more redraft focused on the Patreon. And he waxed poetic this past week over Juan Brito and didn't play a lot last year. I think 99 plate appearances in AAA, I want to say, for Brito, but injury marred there. Martin's really high on Juan Brito, and I think the playing time's going to be there, at least in the short term, to see what he does. So if you're interested in needing middle infield, we're going to lean on our guy Martin and take a shot at Juan Brito.
Yeah, let's see how he's a switch hitter, so you'd imagine he'd play versus righties, but he's only had the chance to face lefties so far.
Yep.
So let's keep an eye on that. I'd throw out Rhys Hoskins also. He's actually swinging it rather well. The home run still on. They had 3 for 3 or 3 doubles on Wednesday. So with the lefties on tap, let alone he played DH versus a righty, and Manzardo's just not good right now. So, or maybe period. I think Rhys Hoskins is worth a flyer, especially with these set of matchups they have this week against the Cardinals and the Orioles pitching staff. Like, you know, Kyle Bradish really isn't any good right now. So, Ryan just nods for those watching on TV. I can't even argue.
That was it. Right, he pitched better than Cole Reagans this week. So,
Dude, Cole Reagans got hit in the head by
I was quiet. Right. You did not hear a text from me. You did not hear a text.
I'm glad
because
I was busy for like 3 hours and I opened up my phone and saw the score. And I'm like, what the heck? And I saw Reagans' line. I didn't know he got hurt. I was like, he got yanked. I'm like, what the? And then, yeah, J Ram.
Last Cleveland name. We've talked about him a couple times. Would love to see more playing time. Angel Martinez, probably Angel Martinez, apologies, but keeps hitting, man. Seems to be a short side platoon bat, so would like to see Angel Martinez play more against right-handed pitching, but I think earlier this week had a grand slam and a steal in the same game. Early metrics look really good. If he can play, that's a really nice pickup. Playing, swinging the bat really well right now. So,
yep,
throw it out there.
Yep, he's not bad. I could see that as a deeper league play, but definitely he had a nice game, like you were talking about. Nice
game. Not bad, had a nice game. What a glowing endorsement.
It's early in the season. What am I supposed to say? He's crushing the baseball for 3 weeks. Detroit Tigers. They have 6 games this week. 3 at home versus Kansas City, 3 at Boston. 4 lefties, 2 righties, because they get the Kansas City Royals and Boston's lefties. So that's not what you want to see if you're Detroit. Again, 4 lefties, 2 righties. That might make things interesting in the streaming department, Ryan.
Yeah, tough too. I mean, we recommended Colt Keith this current week, because it was 7 righties for the Tigers. Can't do it with 4 lefties on tap. Even Kerry Carpenter, you probably want to look at other options there for your start-sit decisions. You're not going to cut Kerry Carpenter. He's better than a streamer, but you probably want to sit him. And then as we talked about at the top of the show, just keep an eye on what happens in the wake of the Parker Meadows injury. Who plays there? If it's Wensiel Perez, I would recommend a bid there.
Yep. No, I agree. But again, if it's Wensiel Perez, does he play versus 4 lefties? So keep that in mind.
Agreed. As well. Yeah, he played most days last year for Detroit, but was definitely more. Yeah, he would sit against lefties every now and then for sure.
So, something to keep in the back pocket on that one. Kansas City Royals, 6 games, 3 at Detroit, 3 in the Bronx versus the Yankees, 2 lefties and 4 righties for a Royals team that they need to wake up the bats as well, especially everybody not named Carter Jensen, basically.
Yeah, agreed. I don't really have anything on ads for the Royals this week.
There really isn't. They're pretty much locked and loaded as usual and not more to mention there. Minnesota Twins, 6 games, all at home, 3 versus Boston, 3 versus Cincinnati. This one's bonkers. 5 lefties and 1 righty for a Twins team that can't hit lefties. Like, holy crap. I have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stream against situation, right? So the lefties going against the Twins are Garrett Crochet. Obviously, you're going to start that. You're going to throw Connolly early. You're going
Brandon Williamson.
Brandon Williamson. I mean, that's the streaming. Yeah. I mean, that's a streaming option.
He was 2-step his first start against Miami, went really well this week. We'll see how the weekend goes. Be 6% rostered. He is 1,000% in play this week.
1,000% in play. Let's see if Nick Lodolo actually happens. That's the scheduled
through a bullpen today.
Player. Yep, through a bullpen. So let's see if the blister acts back up. But that would be a nice landing spot for Nick Lodolo. I still don't even know if I'd throw it. I probably would.
Yeah, you got it.
It's because you kind of have back. To, but I just envision Lodolo pitching 3 innings and getting another blister. And then Andrew Abbott. So those lefties are all really good starts this week against the Twins. Only thing I have for the Twins themselves is the law firm of Lawyerson, Topa, and Funderburk getting the team's last 3 saves. Who would have thought?
Well, then Orzy got it today.
Who?
Eric Orzy got it today.
No idea who the hell that is.
Yeah, just go a little farther down the roster resource page. He's right there. So, yeah.
Jeez. All right, so 4 different saves in 4 different days. And none of them are Cole Sands.
No, and that was the one thing Jewett said. He said Sands is their best pitcher, but it's like the old Baldelli days. Sands is going to be your high leverage arm, so he still might run into some saves, but he's primarily going out there to face the big dogs. Like that's when he's pitching.
And it's tough. Like people spent money on Cole Sands. Like I would think he's probably a drop.
And the one thing I'll say is just looking at the game, like just the pitching. The Twins use their bullpen a ton, so all these guys are in play is the weird part. They're all pitching 3-4 times a week right now.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how the dust settles, I guess, is the best way I can put it. But yep. I'm pretty sure Jewett's response to what are you doing with the Minnesota situation, the nice way to put it is nothing. Like, he's staying away from it.
I think that was his abstinence line, which was pretty funny. Abstinence,
yes. Like, if you have a daughter, I'm like, yes, that one.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. So yeah, as Mr. Grouch asked in the chat, is Sands a drop? We paid so much for him, but I think so. And it's tough to, kind of have that sunk cost, but I think just because you paid a bunch of money for him in Fab, I think, it's a mistake. You move on and don't let the same mistake hurt you twice. I just don't think, and like Sands is probably pretty good, but like, he's not like elite. I mean, he had 4.50 ERA last year with like a 16% K to walk. Like that's 15% strikeout minus walk. That's not even that great. So I don't know.
And he'll get saves. It's just be so inconsistent that there's going to be some other guys we're going to talk about that'll be a lot better off for you this week. So at least better off gambling on. Let's put it that way this week. Yep. And they don't exist in Sacramento. The Sacramento Athletics, they have 7 games this week, all at home, 4 versus Texas, 3 versus the White Sox, 1 lefty, 6 righties. Obviously, we're waiting to see the Brent Rooker news to see how that plays out. But other than that, they've been running the same lineups out here, and not many of these guys are going to be available for you.
Right, exactly. Not much to do in terms of ads unless we get some kind of tell for this weekend's lineups with Brent Rooker. But even then, I just don't see the depth there for the A's to have anyone that you'd want to pick up. Another team with a smorgasbord of different relievers getting saves. Joel Kunal got their most recent save on Wednesday.
No idea who he is.
They got a save today. It was
today was Hogan Harris.
Yeah, Hollywood Hogan. Hollywood Hogan. That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, he got one the day before Kunal, who I don't think we even talked about on the podcast, the same day we recorded. Mark Leiter Jr., he got one save, then a blown save, then a loss. So yeah, that's not Sturter good. Doesn't even see the ninth inning. Like, it's, again, good luck is the best way I'll say it. It's just, to me, eventually maybe someone figures it out. I don't think the Lucas Harris is the only lefty. So that was the other thing. Harris got the save. There was three lefties due up that inning.
Right. Purely situational.
So I have no faith in anything in that situation. Houston Astros, they have seven games this week, as you mentioned earlier. One at Seattle to wrap around. Three at home versus Colorado, the Road Rockies. Three at home versus St. Louis, another team you can take advantage of. One lefty and six righties for the Houston Astros, Ryan. What do you like here?
I mean, on the hitting side, not much. I mean, we talked on Tuesday how good the Astros have been, and so thus they are pretty much widely rostered. Unless you have anything on the bats. I mean, it's a great schedule, so start your Astros. Continue to roll with them.
If you want to keep trying Lo Perfido, he's still been quiet, but he's playing versus righties, and I think he's actually pretty good. So, like, if you, it's a really good schedule if you want to stream him. Like, I could see it playing out for you. He's more rostered in 15s, obviously, with only 5% in 12s. If you're put him on your waterfall, wouldn't say he's a must target, but I think he's actually good. Wouldn't be surprised if he finally has a week. But again, this kind of schedule.
Yeah, more so because of the schedule than the skills. Skills have been okay, but yeah, I could see that in 15 teamers. He's going to play Lo Perfido.
The biggest problem, and I know you're getting ready for it, is the rotation.
Right.
Holy crap! Who, like, Christian Javier is still technically in the rotation? Then I'm sorry, that's not happening. He's seeing the specialist right now because his shoulder's messed up. They have Cody Bolton in the rotation. He opened in Colorado. I don't know if that's and Ryan Weiss came behind him. Don't know if that's the answer. Eric Geddy was pitching on Thursday night at AAA. That's why he's scheduled to join the rotation next week, in midweek. So Eric Geddy would be a dude I've been saying every week on this show and in my write-ups to pick up because his time was coming sooner than later. The question becomes then who takes the other spot unless they really stick with this Bolton Weiss situation. And that is an interesting question because Weiss could get it. You know, Ryan's big fan of that one. Or I've talked about Miguel Ulloa on the last show. You got Jason Alexander, you got Colton Gordon. Lots of ways to go there. But the only thing I can tell you for sure is Eric Geddy next week.
Yeah. I mean, my guess would be Weiss. I mean, technically, he's in the bullpen, but threw 62 pitches on Monday, April 6th. So you could take a stab. I would love to see Kaiwei Tang, the origin of Tang. Dude, but he is legitimately, like, he is not stretched out at all.
No.
He's basically a single inning reliever, which I don't really agree with. I don't know. Oh, I zoomed in again.
Oops, pinch it. Pinch it.
Yeah, pinch it here. Keep talking while I pinch.
Yeah, no, Kaiwei Tang is built for at least 4 to 5 inning roles. Like, he's built for the Weiss role right now. So maybe they put Weiss on the rotation and they stretch Tang out, and that'd be great for everybody involved. So, yeah. Thoughts?
No, I got my camera fixed. I didn't listen to a word you just said.
I figured as much. The other thing I would mention, Brian Abreu is still not looking great. So if Brian King is your jam, I would keep an eye on Brian King.
Abreu, the velocities, but he kind of had that one low velocity game. The velocity's back, but he has also given up a run in every single outing so far this season. So something's not right there. What's the latest on Hader? I haven't heard too much.
He's supposed to
there.
hopefully face live hitters next week for the first time. Hopefully.
Okay. That's I don't know what to make of that, actually.
Yeah, no, it's not a ringing endorsement by any means.
Right.
But it's the most positive we've had all season. And Greg mentioned a few things. Is he's gonna be on a very strict, like, no back-to-back situations, and so when even Hader comes back, it's gonna be he's going to be the closer most likely, but it's still going to be tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. So think about that. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, seven games this week, four at the Yankees, three at home versus San Diego, two lefties, five righties for the Angels. An Angels team that, man, we talked about it on Tuesday night. Outside of a couple bats, this is a bad lineup.
Yeah, agreed. Very bad lineup. We'll likely be without Jorge Soler for much of this week as well. So I don't have anything on the Angels really lineup or rotation. I mean, you do have George Klassen made his debut this past week, did not pitch all that well. I think he only went, yeah, he went 2 2/3 with more walks than strikeouts. So can't really recommend George Klassen as a, I know there's some prospect pedigree there long-term, but right now it doesn't seem like that's the move.
And Jake Cronenworth just scored a run for anybody.
There you go.
If you know, you know, on that one. And the worst part is, so Saturday night Klassen gets at Great American Small Park. Next Wednesday gets at the Bronx. So yeah, I don't know if we're gonna be running to add Klassen anytime soon.
Yeah.
All right. Seattle Mariners, they have 7 games this week. That they finish up the series with Houston on Monday, then 3 at the Padres, and then 3 at home versus Texas. So they go from Seattle to San Diego back to Seattle for the week. 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Seattle Mariners. So, yeah, it's your Canzone Rayleigh type week if you're into that jam.
Right, and really Rayleigh over Canzone for me, though. A lot of smart people like Canzone as well, but you can also do why not both, because there's room for both in that lineup. So I don't have my – I mean, Mariners need to start hitting, but it's not like we're dropping any Mariners or adding any Mariners. So you just kind of wait this out. The rotation stable, the bullpen stable, just – I don't know. Long season, Mariners fans tell themselves.
Long season, indeed. I got nothing else. The rotation's still intact for now, and Munoz is Munoz. So,
yep.
The Texas Rangers, 7 games, 4 at Sacramento. That's a great way to start the week. That's 2 lefties, 2 righties, if you're curious. And then 3 at Seattle. So it's 2 lefties and 5 righties on the week, 3 righties in Seattle for the Texas Rangers. But, like, I'm not going and getting jock jams, so nothing really excites me here either.
Right. Jock jams. Jock Peterson is probably your only streaming option. I did that in the Vegas auction last week. Actually, did hit a home run, but did nothing else. So can't really recommend Jock Peterson. I mean, I think the biggest thing with the Rangers is Jacob Junis, the rebirth, yes. I guess.
He's back.
I know you asked Jewett about it, and I guess – So Bubba did bench with Bubba with Greg Jewett, who is our guy on the bullpen scene, reliever recon. It was a really good show. I listened to the whole thing. Greg, it seemed like wasn't too convinced. I think he made the comment that like he wouldn't like Junis more than what he's going to go for in Fab this weekend, which I'm on board with.
To be fair, he said that about pretty much everybody this weekend. Well, I get that because he's solid enough to jump ahead and try to take gambles on stuff. So what I'll mention with Junis, because I will be invested in Junis this week, but I'll probably still be short because that's just my downside to Fab. I will mention, I told Ryan this the other day when I was kind of digging in to Junis for one of the write-ups. Last year with Cleveland, he worked out of the bullpen. He was 4-1. He had 6 holds. He threw 66 2/3 innings, 2.97 ERA for Junis. He had a 13.5% K to walk, not ideal, but 20% K rate. We've seen, my point is he was actually serviceable in this situation with the Guardians Cleveland last year out of the bullpen. Yeah. Yep. So like it's a surprise, but maybe shouldn't have been as big of a surprise is where I'm going with that. So I think he will get a chance here. They went to him 2 in a row. The only reason why Cole Wynn got it on Wednesday is because Junis went back-to-back days. So like if we see over the weekend, Junis is the first man up again, it's like, mm-hmm. Well, maybe he gets it for a while, but it also could be, you know, just like last year when Texas moved things around quite a bit. The biggest thing is when Cole Wynn got the save on Wednesday, Robert Garcia didn't even get used in that game. Oh, like that wasn't even an option. So that says a lot about that situation.
I spent $8 on Robert Garcia in the Vegas auction. And I mean, I'm going to have to really think about this weekend. What am I doing? I mean, why do I have Robert Garcia on my team still?
It's a great question, and you should make sure you fix that this weekend. Is what
you, so he's a drop. You would drop.
I would say so. Like, it's Texas, and anything could happen, but if
I mean, he hasn't even sniffed the ninth inning.
Greg was more interested, like, yeah, go get your Junis. He basically said, if you're not spending up on Junis, you should put some bids in on Colwin and even Jacob Latz.
Damn. Okay.
So those are the things I took notes on. Yeah. He thinks Cole Wynn is pretty good. Like, if Junis struggles, Wynn would probably be the next man up. So if you want to go the cheaper route, there's an option. And then if you want a lefty, he said Jacob Latz is actually really good, and the team likes him a lot. So a couple, like he reads all the beat writer stuff way more than I do, obviously. So I'll take whatever he has to say on that one.
All right. Sounds like I'm dropping. Cause I do have, I mean, not to make it my team, but people are, anyone who drafted Robert Garcia is in the same boat as I have. I've got Romano and Fairbanks. So
oh, you're sitting okay then.
It's probably like should drop.
You're Robert not like Garcia. Me in a $1,600 auction. And I have David Bednar and
it's getting saved.
And Griffin Jacks.
Not getting saves.
Yeah. That's why Junis might have to be a priority this week.
Right. That's the issue a lot of us are in with, you know, we've just crapped on like five different bullpen situations. Obviously, all the good closers are rostered. It's like, what do you do? You saves is a category and you have to take a shot. Exactly.
That's the shame in it. So we'll see how that pans out. Ironically, though, in that league, I was looking before the show, I have five saves. First place has seven saves. So that just goes to show you how the landscape of saves right now is also pretty crazy. But
yeah,
enough of our teams, Ryan. Let's get to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, six games this week, three at home versus Miami, three at the Phillies, one lefty and five righties on tap for a Braves team that, stop me if you've heard this before, another team needs to wake up at the plate.
Needs to wake up at the plate and also just kind of throws out a lot of the same lineup. So going to play Mauricio the hits. Dubon? Yeah, going to play the hits. Mauricio Dubon came up in the Discord today. He pops on
the board.
I posted the board. It. I bring this stuff upon myself.
Yeah, you could have blacked that part of it out. It was the last name on the bottom of the board. You could have like cropped it out.
Hey, anything for the good of the Discord. I give information. You know, if it's not my guy, then so be it. Mauricio Dubon, Bubba, has a 17% K rate. He's hitting 333, really good. Yep. Has four barrels. He already has the same number of barrels this season that he had in 398 plate appearances last year. Now, is that sustainable? Two home runs. Trust me, I'm about to like vomit as I keep talking here, but sustainable, probably not. But you never know.
Career.
I know. Almost 40% hard hit. So I don't know, man.
Like, that speeds up over a mile an hour.
All right. We can move on now. But I don't know. I'm just throwing the point out that Mauricio Dubon, unfortunately, has actually been semi-decent this year and is playing and will continue to play. So throwing his name out there as someone who should be pretty much, I mean, what is he? He's 25% rostered in 12-teamers. Qualifies it, good God, second, short, everywhere. Third, and outfield.
Everywhere. So, he plays everywhere. He is the... Go. He is a potential mascot option. You'll never agree to it, but that, like, he is the definition of it.
Yeah. Allegations being thrown by Mr. Grouch in the chat here, but you never know. You never know.
So far, maybe did. He maybe left some over in the locker room. Speaking of playing the hits with five righties on tap in six games, Ryan.
No, don't.
Dominic Smith is available, everybody, if you want to play the hits, because Dom Smith is actually hitting well also, right? Hitting 292 with two home runs, striking out 15.4% of the time with a 10% barrel rate as well. So just wanted to throw Dom Smith out there as well if you're looking for a stream with a really nice set of matchups this week.
Not gonna. I've said enough.
Anything else with the Braves, Ryan?
No, this has been a disaster.
I think it's been amazing, and it's gonna be even better when Dom Smith hits two home runs next week and Dupont goes one homer with three steals or something. It's gonna be awesome. Other question I have for you though, Bryce Elder.
Yeah,
Bryce Elder's throwing really well. Like, I expect the other shoe to drop at some point in time, but he gets the Marlins this week. This is just another, like, again, I expect him to screw up at some point, but he's pitching great and he has another really nice matchup.
Yep, for sure. Hasn't given up an earned run in 13 innings this year, but more importantly, the K's have been there, 28% K rate, not walking guys, getting tons of ground balls, ground ball rates over 50%. You love that. And missing bats at a decent clip. So absolutely. Bryce Elder.
And then I guess the last thing is I don't even see him in the agenda schedule next week. So Martin Perez is not existent. with the day off, they're just skipping him, it looks like, which don't blame
probably, him. Probably the right move.
Yeah. Okay. On to the Marlins. Marlins have six games, three at Atlanta, three at home versus Milwaukee, one lefty and five righties for the Marlins. What do you like in with the fish?
I honestly don't see much here at all. I mean, we talked about Stowers at the top, but Liam Hicks was added a bunch last weekend. Owen Casey, I believe, is pretty widely rostered.
Yes.
And I don't know. Connor Norby, I think his first home run of the season this week.
Yes, he did.
Nice to see him get off the schneid, hitting only 206, but already has two barrels and a 16% strikeout rate. So the skills are there for Connor Norby. The results haven't been. I know I'm a big Connor Norby fan in general, but I would wait that out if you're in deeper leagues. But outside of that, I don't have too much.
I guess the thing I want to see this week, and those were just Davis and De Los Santos play, if they're calling him up.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they take Griffin Conine's spot since he got he left with looked like a hamstring injury on Thursday. If they actually play Davison, like the power's right here, it's, I think, three home runs already at AAA this year. The power's been undeniable. It's just been like, where does he play? Because his defense isn't great. So that's one I'd keep an eye on this weekend to see how that one plays out.
Yep, good point.
All right, the New York Mets, six on the road, three at the Dodgers, three at the Cubs, two lefties, four righties for the Metropolitans. This is a... Man, Lindor, come on, buddy. Wake up. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm not worried one bit about Francisco.
I'm not worried.
He was pretty bad in April last year, too, and then
yeah,
we all know what happened. So, I don't know. A lot of injuries. It doesn't sound like Juan Soto's progressing all that quickly from his calf strain.
They said it was like a three-week deal anyway, so he's still on week one.
He's just kind of chilling. Yeah. Jorge Polanco might go on the IL. He's hurt. I spent a bunch of money on Mark Vientos. He's been an over this season, this week. Brett Beatty will continue to play, but I mean, those were big ads last week, so I don't have too much or really anything on the Mets, to be honest.
I got nothing. I got business as usual in the rotation, the bullpen, and the starters. Like, there's really not much going on with the Mets.
Yep.
Same with this team, Philadelphia Phillies, six games at home, three versus the Cubs, three versus the Braves, two lefties and four righties for the fighting Phils.
I don't think we've said anything in our Fab previews about the Phillies in like 3 years. Could probably just take them off the weekly planner. They never change. They never change.
The only time we'll ever mention anything is if there's a serious injury. Otherwise, this is who they are. It's pretty much what it comes down to.
Nope. Their bench guys don't play and the rotation stable. Except Nola's for Taiwan Walker. Good. Nola's Nola's looking good. Lizardo bounced back nicely in Coors. Andrew Painter's had his moments, and then obviously
Painter's in the bullpen. Painter's a roller coaster. Like, he's not a guy at start every start. That's all I know. Like, it's shaky with him. Not Taiwan Walker shaky, more like Aaron Nola shaky. All right. Washington Nationals, seven games, four at Pittsburgh, three at home versus the Giants. One lefty and six righties for the Washington Nationals, Ryan.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're starting Luis Garcia anyway, but should be a good week for Luis Garcia. Really favorable schedule there. Another team that doesn't really move too many pieces around. So unless I'm missing something, we had the Joey Weimer Love Fest opening weekend. He is not really even playing for them. So we were on that one from the start. We love Weimer, but that was fool's gold.
Yes, that was one I've never even thought I'd ever put in a waterfall. I don't even think I mentioned him in a Fab article if I had my options. So... yeah, just stay away from that one. The one guy I'll just keep mentioning, though, just because he's still widely available, is Brady House. Hitting 295, two home runs, still strikes out 27%, but plays every day, hits in the middle of this Nats lineup, 13% barrel, 42% hard hit rate. He was like a higher-end prospect for the Nats. I think this kid's really going to – he's starting out really strong, and he could be really good at a tough third base position. So I would keep him on your radar. Like, if you need third base or CI – eventually, he's not going to be around anymore, but I think he's pretty darn good.
We'll get to two steps, but Cade Cavalli gets a good two step at Pittsburgh versus the Giants. It's seven games, so there's two steppers. The other one is Miles Michaelis. We're not doing that, are we?
No. And then just so you know, Clayton Beter did not get a warming reception on my show with Jewett.
No, not at all. I mean, this bullpen is a complete disaster.
Yeah,
like a firm stay away.
It's funny, the guy he likes and the guy he even has on his reliever recon sheet is currently in the minor leagues he's hurt in the minor leagues, but he's like, that's the guy if he ever gets promoted. So
he's this IL guy in AAA. That's the dude.
Bad the Nats are. It's like, this is our guy if it ever, you know, happens. So yeah, keep that in mind.
Great.
Chicago Cubs, they have 6 games, 3 at Philadelphia, 3 at home versus the Mets, 3 lefties, 3 righties. The Philly series is 2 lefties and a righty. The Mets series, 1 lefty, 2 righties. Regardless, difficult to stream this week.
Difficult to stream, but we can get Seiya Suzuki back in our lives. Yes, it sounds like he's coming back Friday, so get him back for lineups. Yeah, this weekend, but certainly next week, assuming all goes well. It sounds like Seiya Suzuki's ready to go, and that means the end of Michael Conforto. Want to see what Matt Shaw does if the Cubs find a way to keep him. I think qualified for outfield today, hit his 10th game in the outfield. Hitting .257, 2 homers, a steal, decent K rate, 3 barrels already this season. Like, I think Matt Shaw is actually pretty good. I'm just curious to see how much he plays when Seiya comes back.
Yep, no, I agree. Like, he's might be back to that super utility role we all thought he'd have before Seiya got hurt. The other guy I'll mention is if you're looking for a catcher too, which, like, I picked up Danny Jansen last week for like $4 with a runner up of 3, surprisingly. I'd throw Miguel Amaya out there. He's DHing or playing catcher. DHing might go away with Seiya back, but .294 home run, 15% walk, 15% K. We know how good Amaya can be. He got hurt last year. Kelly's still supposed to be the guy there. Kelly doesn't DH, but we've seen Amaya play 4 of the last 6 games, and as a catcher too, that'll play. So wanted to throw him out there as another option. Now, again, if he loses the DH or whatnot, that might change a little bit, but if he's going to play 4 out of 6, I like Miguel Amaya as a backup catcher too.
Got a question from Michael Cicchini in the chat. Do we know if Ian Happ is back or announced tomorrow? I have not seen anything. No. He's dealing with a bruised heel. It sounds like we're going to have to wait for lineups on Friday.
Yeah, he missed the last 2 games. He's day-to-day. They're hoping he's back Friday. That's all we know, especially with the day off on Thursday. We have no clue. So
yep.
Wait and see. Bright side, we get a Wrigley afternoon Friday, so you'll know Brighton.
There we go. Love those. So. Love those Friday matinees, though I will probably have the Masters on, but I don't know. Say it comes up, I'll flip over. I love that guy.
So, yeah, you got that going for you. Any interest in Colin Ray or Javier Fassad?
Are you just trolling me at this point?
I thought we were playing the hits.
We are. I mean, Fassad is not one of your hits. I would hope.
No, it's more of a show's hit is where I was going with that one.
Actually, I'm not going to lie. Like, in deep league, it's at Philly next week. Colin Ray is more interesting to me than the Fassad. But we'll see there. And let's just see. There are rumors of Jackson Wiggins potentially being called up. At least as of this show, haven't seen anything formal official on that. But something, a name to keep an eye on potentially for Fab is Jackson Wiggins if the Cubs decide to move him to the rotation over Fassad. I doubt they move out Fassad. I mean, he freaking never gives up runs. But just keep an eye on that one, Jackson Wiggins.
All right, Cincinnati Reds, they have 6 games, 3 at home versus the Giants, 3 at the Minnesota Twins, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Cincinnati Reds. Again, that doesn't do much for me, though.
Agreed. I don't have anything in terms of ads on the Reds. The name I was going to bring up is, I think we brought him up before, but Noelvi Marte. See ya. I mean, what are we doing, man?
You're dropping him.
I think so, too. I mean, he's just not playing enough.
Yeah, when he does play, it doesn't matter.
I guess he hasn't. I don't have any Marte, so I haven't really been tracking how he's been doing. But hitting .150 with a 36% strikeout rate. That is terrible in 22 plate appearances.
Yeah, maybe he goes to the AAA, gets it right, you pick him up later. But right now, he's doing you no good on your team, not even on your bench. Like, you can move on from that one.
Yep.
All right, Milwaukee Brewers, 6 games, 3 at home versus Toronto, 3 at the Miami Marlins. 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Brew Crew. If Garrett Mitchell's still alive for you on the waiver line,
the hits.
But he's widely rostered now because people have wisened up to that jam. I just wanted to throw Garrett Mitchell out there for everybody. Anything else? Most of these guys have been added. You need a sound effect.
So Garrett Mitchell is somehow hitting .310 with a 40% strikeout rate. The guy has a 571 BABIP.
It's called that taking full advantage of the times he actually touches the ball.
No, it's called luck, Bubba. It's called luck. Yeah. But hey, he's hitting the ball hard. Honestly, he's hitting the ball hard and he's running. He's already got three steals, attempted four bags. So I am with you. Widely rostered, of course. But yes, while Garrett Mitchell is healthy, he is doing things. So I like that. So to bring this back to bullpens, what do you do if you drafted Abner Uribe?
I've been told by some smart people that you can just drop him.
I think you have to. Otherwise, you're waiting on a McGill injury, which could happen, but I don't know.
It's McGill's role until he gets hurt or get traded. So,
it's pretty clear. It's very clear that it's McGill's
role. It's 100% clear that it's Trevor McGill's job right now.
So Zerpa got the save on Monday, but McGill pitched two in a row. And Uribe pitched two in a row as well. But it's been pretty straight up McGill there.
And if you can drop Uribe. The other thing I would pay attention to, Brandon Sproat apparently is getting skipped. So keep an eye on that. That's something worth monitoring. Because they moved guys up with the day off and they skipped him. So now he's still scheduled for next Tuesday for now, but he was originally supposed to pitch on Friday. And he's not. So keep that on your radar. And what's good, because he's been bad. He struggled for sure. So just kind of keep that in mind when you're looking at things with Brandon Sproat.
What's the deal with Logan Henderson?
He came up and worked as a piggyback. Then he went back to AAA. Like he's fine. They're stretching him out down there. I don't know what their plan is. It's really bizarre is the best way I can say it. Like he pitched two innings in a piggyback of Sproat. Then he pitched three innings in his only start at AAA. Looked really good in that start.
Yeah.
They're taking their time stretching them out, but I don't see what they're waiting for, to be totally honest.
Tough stash fantasy wise until.
Yeah. I think I still have him one place I'm trying to hold. I might've dropped him by now, but I still think he's too good. Like, especially in the 15s, like there's not a whole lot of guys in the waiver wire with that skill set. So if you can hold, I'd try to, but you never know with the Brewers. Pittsburgh Pirates. They have seven games all at home. Four versus the Nats, three versus the Rays, two lefties, five righties for a Pittsburgh team that's playing pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, and kind of, I don't know, can't stand their ownership, but for the fans of Pittsburgh, it would be cool to see the Pirates make a run. I think they've got the horses, honestly. I think they've got the horses to make a wild card run here. So it will be interesting to follow them. I don't have too much in terms of ads, though, right? Like Jared Triolo got hurt this past week, so my guy Nick Gonzalez is still saved and playing, but again, that's more of a really deep / draft and hold type deal. I think we can move on from Marcelo Zuna if anyone's still holding on there. He's a drop. No RBIs in 35 plate appearances. He's hitting .065, one barrel, so just the hard contact is gone, so you can move on there.
Yeah, the guy that I like still, if you're looking for a pitching streamer, is Carmen Majinski. The innings, like the workload, they're kind of babying him for now, it feels like, but the strikeouts are legit, like really good. He gets the Nats next week. The following week, he gets a potential two-step at Texas, then the at Milwaukee's tricky. But it's a good set of matchups coming up for Majinski, and I'm using him this week in his matchups. I think he's actually really good. So he's a guy I would IBI is still 42% rostered in OCs, so he's a guy for sure.
He gets that day game against the Cubs on Friday against Shota. Dang, I might have to watch.
I got both those guys going then. Sweet. That makes it more entertaining while I'm working.
Yeah, but, should be a productive day at the office.
Yeah, you with the Masters and then that game. Ryan's going to be like out of office for the afternoon on the freaking Teams page.
Our guy, TDK. What's up, man? And the chat says Nick Gonzalez could move up in the order more often. That could happen as well. So
the only other thing I'm going to mention with Pittsburgh, which I thought was really funny. So Connor Griffin signs that 9-year, $140 million deal the other day.
Yeah.
That same day in the dugout, they interview Paul Skeens. Did you see that? They asked him, like, what do you think about this? He's all good for him. He's the face of the franchise for years to come, which is really funny because they won't pay Paul Skeens.
Yep.
Because he should be the face of the franchise. So to hear Paul Skeens say that, like, that's just, I love that kind of snark. Like, just that was the middle finger to the management by Paul Skeens, is what that was.
That was very well done.
Yes. Very politically correctly done to basically give him the middle finger that way. It was good.
Yep.
All right, wrapping up the Central, Cardinals, six games, three at home versus Cleveland, three at Houston, one lefty, five righties. For a Cardinals team that's better than expected, but still not great is the best way I'll put it.
Yeah, and not really anyone in terms of fab ads. Jordan Walker continues to do his thing. I mean, he's been picked up now, widely rostered, but it's nice to see that from Jordan Walker. I don't, I mean, it looks like Riley O'Brien's, he's got the last two saves.
He's the dude. Real quick for hitting, though, I'll mention with five righties, I'd say Nolan Gorman, if you want power, like he plays versus every righty. The average is questionable, but he's got legit pop. Like he's got two homers, he's got eight RBIs, hitting .237. So I would throw him out there on a week like this.
Okay.
But yes, Riley O'Brien's the dude. He's the dude. Ryan Stanek, for all that money spent, not going to happen.
You know, O'Brien's actually pitching quite well so far. It's seven innings, yes, but a ton of ground balls, good number of whiffs, and no walks this season.
Yes, and there's a large part of me, and I'm not talking about my belly, that hopes that O'Brien continues to pitch well, because I was getting a lot of pushback when I kept targeting him as my discounted closer.
You're referring to your flank.
My flank, yes. My right, left, and center flank. All right, let's head to the NL West. The Arizona Diamondbacks have six games, three at Baltimore, three versus Toronto, two lefties and four righties for the D-backs. And with four righties on tap, do we play the hits with the DH? Does ADC come back into our life?
Yeah. Adrian, I don't know, man. You tell me. I'm sick and tired of playing your hits tonight.
Yeah, RBI double today. He's got a couple hits. Like, it's still not great by any means. I think the hit tool is awesome. I'm not going to be running to play pickup Adrian. I just had to throw it out there as he'll actually play four out of six games. So that's on the table, but I got nothing when it comes to Arizona.
I mean, I'll throw out, speaking of the hits, Tim the Toolman starting three of the last four games, one of which against a righty. Don't know if that continues, but yeah, you're still not picking up Tim the Toolman. I just need an excuse to mention him.
Jose Fernandez is 14% roster. He's played four out of the last five.
Yeah.
I just don't trust the playing time. And honestly, like, everyone remembers the two home run debut. He hasn't been, like, yeah, he's hitting .333, but it's a lot of, I don't know, it's not really that impressive to me, I guess. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, I mean, the K rate's fine, making hard contact, so it's there. It's, for me, I agree, it's the playing time. I can't trust Arizona with the playing time quite yet.
Other thing to monitor, Corbin Carroll is dealing with a hip injury. Supposed to not be too serious, but keep an eye on that. He sat out on Thursday because of said injury, and he said he heard it running the bases on Wednesday. So just watch that for a couple days and see what happens over the weekend. Anything on the pitching side, I got Paul Sewald has not looked great. Surprise, surprise, but I really don't know who you trust in Arizona.
Nobody.
Yeah. So Sewald probably, Jewett thinks Sewald keeps the job unless, like, just the world ends, essentially. So
I mean, he hasn't been, like, horrible.
He's just not dominating. He's very hittable. So it's not the ideal closer is what I'm trying to get at.
I mean, he's got, let's see, Sewald four and a third, seven Ks, no walks.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
What's the ERA?
Let's not concern ourselves with things like ERA.
Fantasy statistics. Why would we do that?
4.15 ERA.
That's not horrible. I thought it'd be worse. All right, Colorado Rockies. They have six games this week: three at Houston, three at home versus the Dodgers and Coors. All righties, six righties for the Rockies. So there are some streaming options if you're feeling frisky still.
Yep, for sure. Mickey Moniak, I don't have a good gauge on like how widely rostered he is.
100%.
So there we go. Wow. Never mind. Mickey Moniak is back. Healthy and back and hitting second against righty. So a great Mickey Moniak week. TJ Rumfield continues to hit all righty week. You can go there for TJ Rumfield. We were talking about Brenton Doyle pre-show. Let's get him rolling. We're big Doyle fans here. And then obviously, like we talked about at the top, monitor the Hunter Goodman news and potential deep cut of Braxton Fulford. One more, actually, I pulled a quote from the Discord from you today. And I quote, "Time to drop Jordan Beck, and I hate it.
Yeah.
Just not playing enough.
Especially with six righties next week, he's definitely not going to play.
Correct.
Like, it's bad. It's really bad, and it sucks. Like, this is just the most Rockies thing ever. You get a guy that hits 258, 16 homers, 19 steals, and all of a sudden it's like, no, he's actually striking out 7% less than last year. I know it's a very small sample because they don't play him, but I just don't get it. He hit 298 with two homers and a steal at spring training. Like, yeah, they just completely abandoned ship because, like, Troy Johnson, who you didn't mention, is a pickup this week with six righties on tap. He's 40% rostered.
Yeah, I got him last week as a streamer. Yeah,
yeah, I was shocked he's only 40%, so he's the only one. Rumfield's like 80-something, Moniak's 100. Johnston has two homers, and he's hitting 310, so he plays every single day.
Yep.
He's in play for you. Moniak's back. That's what put Beck on the bench, essentially, because Doyle's in center. So, like, yeah, there's no room at the end, but Beck was supposed to be the right fielder, not Troy Johnson.
And then I'll also throw out, the Rockies are kind of interesting. Again, the schedule is really good this week, so we've got that. But I will say Jake McCarthy, if the playing time's there, I know he's only hitting 120, but still better than average K rate. He's got four steals. That's what you're rostering Jake McCarthy for. We talked about on the Tuesday show that the Rockies are very aggressive on the base pass this year. In an already weak deep leagues, if you don't have much stolen base upside on your team, Jake McCarthy could be a kind of a deep cut ad there for very cheap.
Yeah, not definitely. If he gets the playing time, I can definitely see where you're going with that one.
It's been intermittent, so, you know, yeah, not,
again,
no guarantee.
Screwed all that up. And so did Johnson. Dodgers, six games, three at home versus the Mets, three in Coors, two lefties, four righties. Dodgers are clicking on all cylinders. I'm not adding Ha-Sung Kim. I guess you could if you wanted to. I'm more interested in Alex Freeland. Does that do anything for you?
I don't think so. Should it?
Dude's hitting 250. He's got a homer, but the quality of the at bats. I saw someone put it in the Discord earlier this week.
Yeah, 50% hard hit.
Yeah,
the ball hard.
Almost 10% barrel, 52% hard hit. Like, there are some pluses that I'm liking to see here, that's for sure. So that's a guy, especially with Coors in play. Alex Freeland will be a guy I'd keep an eye on.
Yeah, and again, the Coors trio here is Ben Tidd's guy, Ryan Feltner, Kyle Freeland, my guy, and then almost called him Jared, Michael Lorenzen.
So we can get a Freeland on Freeland crime on Saturday? That'd be awesome. That'd be a fan.
Yeah. Related?
Maybe. Are we doing this again? Let me find out for you. Are Kyle Freeland and Alex Freeland? It's the first thing mentioned on Google.
This is an upgrade from Is Mookie Blaylock Still Alive that we did last year.
Kyle, no, they're not related.
All right.
Not that I see. No.
No, I don't mind the Alex. I mean, the playing time's going to be there. It's the everyday second baseman.
Yep. So that would be, it's pretty much the only Dodger you can roster. And I'd love to see Dalton Rushing get more playing time. That's not happening, unfortunately.
I would not. Well, but Dalton Rushing's been, because I'm a Will Smith guy, but Dalton Rushing, and started two in a row, Sunday and Monday, which was kind of weird, but made the most of it. But he's blocked by Will Smith.
Yep. San Diego Padres have six games this week, three versus Seattle, three at the Angels, two lefties and four righties for the Padres. Again, it's like the Phillies. I got nothing to really add to this conversation.
Nope. Only question is Jake Cronenworth a drop or not? I'm not, not totally sure, but
you better triple check before you do. So if not, if you get it within the first 7 minutes, you can get them back. So you got that going for you. Randy Vasquez gets Seattle.
Yes. He's
good again tonight.
Yeah. I think we talked about Vasquez, the first show of the year for in-season show is the velocity riser. And sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith and do this. And who knows? I mean, because still Randy Vasquez, but shoved again on Thursday night, pitching extremely well right now. So keep rolling with Randy Vasquez if you were fortunate enough to grab him in the first fab period.
And then Herman Marquez gets at the Angels next week. Like, that's still a stream to me. Like, he's still in play. Yeah. It's crazy.
He pitches this weekend, right?
Yeah, he finishes a two-step against the Road Rockies.
Oh, what a schedule. The guy's running pure. Yeah.
That was the point of the whole ad. I was like,
yes, hey, no, kudos. You were on that one.
Yeah, so and then Angels is a little cherry on top, hopefully. And then we wrap it up with the Gigantes. Hey, two-game winning streak, Giants. Just going to throw that out there. Six games on the road, 3 in Great American, Small Park, 3 at the National. So great ballpark to hit in, great rotation to face. Like, so on paper, really good road trip on tap for the Giants, especially with all right-handed pitchers as well. So, Ryan, anything stand out to you?
I don't know. You tell me. It's your squad.
Offensively, it's the same guys every other day. So I will say Casey Schmidt is slowly swinging the bat well. I'm still not running to pick him up, but keep it in mind. We were rostering him at times last year, so wouldn't be fully opposed to that. Ryan Walker is the closer unless Robbie Ray pitches, apparently. So keep that in mind.
That's like, is this just a Robbie Ray? It's like a instead of a personal catcher, it's a personal follower.
That's what it feels like so far. So it's like it's 2 for 2.
But like Caleb Killian, I mean, I know you took a shot on Killian. He pitched not in the 9th on Wednesday.
Yeah, he pitched in the 7th.
So
and trust me, he was like 7th down my waterfall. That's why I got him for a buck. He wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I'm not throwing shade. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you have Walker, do you start him next week?
Yeah, you do.
What you know now.
I still think he gets his shots. I will say Robbie Ray's got 2 steps. So that might ruin it for you.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why I had to pull that up real quick. So it might limit your Walker exposure. But I still pitch him. It's freaking nuts, man.
Yeah, it's Robbie Ray and an off day on Monday. 2 Robbie Rays. So really, you've only got 4 days possibly where Ryan Walker can close.
God help me. The one I'll mention, and it's weird just because never mind.
I'm not making fun of the ball boy, dude. Like, what are we doing, man?
Oh, it's don't
come on.
Okay, it's near the end of the show. You're still trying to poke the bear here. Is this what we're doing? You're trying to get me going at the very end of the show. Hey. Any other thoughts on the Giants?
I guess I'll stop while I'm ahead.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad right now, but they're winning. They're winning. It's all I can ask for right now. Figure it out as we go. Any final thoughts on the 30 games or 30 teams, I should say, before we get into some two-step magic?
No, covered it well. No glaring ads for me in terms of like priority. Maybe Eric Geddy's probably my favorite, but I think in a lot of NFBC leagues. Well, no, he'll pitch. No, wait. Will he not be available in NFBC?
If he wasn't already drafted, he will not be.
Right.
He's out there in some, like he's 3% rostered in OC. So just like check your leagues. Because some people drafted early enough where they still have him. Like our auctions, he's probably either got picked up or he's not available yet. But some of those early leagues, he's still sitting around.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Seems like a week to maybe fill some spots. But at least as of now, things can change over the weekend. But as of now, it seems like a week to kind of chill.
Yeah, no, I got my list. I make every show, and it's the shortest one I've made so far this season. So, definitely makes sense to me. Let's talk two steps as the Rockies and Padres just don't want to end their game. They're in the 12th inning now as they keep just dragging this one on. Two step time. Ryan Nelson at Baltimore versus Toronto.
I do it in 15s.
I do it in 15s for sure. 12s, it's a little shakier. He was pitching really well until he blew up late in his last start. Baltimore, like both those teams, Baltimore and Toronto, haven't got it really going yet, but you can see both of them waking up at a
given the thing.
Moment.
I feel like, I don't want to say they're like sleeping giants, but they're better lineups than they've shown so far.
So yeah, 15 is probably only for me on that one. Sacramento, you got Severino and Springs versus Texas versus the White Sox.
I would do.
I do Springs.
I would do Springs. Severino, I would not. I would not. He has just not. So, the command has not been there this year.
Well, Sevy's road only if you're going to do it at all. Springs has actually looked pretty good this year. I probably should have mentioned him in the ad section. I don't love this start, but like next week he gets at Texas for one. Like that's a really good look for Springs. Yeah. So something to keep in mind. JT Jen's coming up. Don't run to do that just yet. I'm not recommending. I didn't mention he's coming in to fill the Morales spot in the rotation. Atlanta. Grant Holmes and Ronaldo Lopez versus Miami at Philadelphia.
Probably roll with Lopez.
I do both. Just probably do Miami both. Start alone.
And Lopez will make the start. He's serving a suspension now.
Yep, he started serving it on Wednesday, so he'll be good to go by Tuesday.
All right.
Baltimore, you got Trevor Rogers and Kyle Bradish versus Arizona at Cleveland. That's a yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Garrett Crochet is a yes. We don't have to ask that one again. Technically, they're showing Matthew Boyd back next Sunday. So keep an eye on that situation.
If so, sure, but doubt it.
If not, that means you get the facade at Philadelphia versus the Mets.
I mean,
the Mets have been bad, dude.
I can't answer that.
I know. Had to ask, though. Had to ask. Guardians, Gavin Williams and Joey Cantillo at St. Louis versus Baltimore. Those are both yeses.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Lorenzen's a no.
Correct.
You mentioned Sean Burke versus Tampa Bay at the A's.
So that's the thing. Like, I would think about it. I'd think about it and maybe even do it in a 15. Because until the A's wake up and start hitting, and it's not summer Sacramento yet. I haven't looked at the weather yet, but
it's not going to be that hot next week. There's been like intermittent storms coming through the area, so it's not that bad right now.
So I think you can take a shot. It's not a full endorsement. I'm still a little nervous there, but Sean Burke has pitched well, and I like the two step.
To be fair, ratios are pretty much blowing up around baseball. Give them to me in a 15. Let's dance. Detroit, Framber Valdez coming off a disaster versus Kansas City at Boston.
Yeah, you're rolling. I mean, Framber actually pitched like he got destroyed in the first inning. I think he stayed and pitched five. So
that's what he does. That's what Framber does. Mike Burrows at Seattle versus St. Louis.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's been shaky. So
yeah, but dude, Seattle can't hit right now. The matchups are awesome.
Yeah. Cole Reagans, yeah, that's obvious. As long as he can actually see his hand, that's fine. Yusei Kikuchi, Reed Detmers at the Yankees versus the Padres.
Oh God. I mean, per our starting pitcher planner, which has been rolled over for 2026 stats, this is the best schedule in the next 2 weeks of any pitcher. So I'm going to say yes. The Yankees have not been good against lefties.
Kikuchi and Detmers.
Oh, Detmers. Yeah, I'll do both. I'll roll both.
Trust in his creation. Yuri Perez is a yes. I don't think if Sproat pitches his first Toronto at Miami.
No.
He's been bad. Bailey Ober, no. No, right? Bailey Ober?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
David Peterson at the Dodgers, at the Cubs, no.
That's brutal. I probably would not.
Will Warren and Ryan Weathers versus the Angels versus Kansas City.
Decent matchups. I would definitely roll with Weathers. Pitched really well on Thursday. I probably wouldn't with Will Warren until we see. Oh, he's pitched okay. I'd probably do it in 15s.
I do both in 15s. I do Weathers in 12s also. That start tonight made me feel so much better about things. I know it was only one start. Probably shouldn't think that way, but it helped a lot. All right, Philadelphia, Christopher Sanchez, yes. Paul Skeens, yes. Mitch Keller versus Washington versus Tampa Bay.
Like the matchups. I don't like Mitch Keller.
He's pitched great so far this year.
9% K to walk, 8% swinging strike. He hasn't been that great, at least skills-wise. I'd I'd do it, but I'd hold my nose.
Yeah, in a 15, you do it for sure. Michael King versus Seattle at the Angels.
Yeah. Yep.
George Kirby, Brian Wu, yes. Robbie Ray, yeah. Yeah, you're doing that.
Yep.
Liberatore, you should be versus Cleveland at Houston for Liberatore.
Yeah, I would do it.
McClanahan, yes. Eovaldi, Mackenzie Gore, yes. Gossman, yes. Cade Cavalli at Pittsburgh versus the Giants.
I think so in 15s. Cavalli hasn't pitched that well so far this season, but just I love the way he looked last season. Let's hope he turns things around in a 15. I think I'm doing that.
And then Miles Mikolas at Pittsburgh versus the Giants.
Never
had a chance. Never. Of hell.
Did you see his start against the Dodgers?
Dude, he's so bad. He's so bad. Like the fact he got side just blows my mind. It's
unreal, man. Live on the scene, TDK lives in or near Sacramento, I believe. Error still heavy in West Sac, as they call it. So
yeah, that's not bad over there right now. Close to my old stomping grounds. So yeah, you're good.
Yep.
Okay, so we got some Discord questions to go over here before Jake Cronenworth scores a second run. Matt Cardinal says Fuentes, a triple digit bid. That's Didier Fuentes. who looked good in his last Triple-A start. I still don't know when they bring him up, guys. Like, I know everyone's all excited about it. I know the skill sets are good. I'm not clueless to any of this. I just feel like if they wanted him up, he'd be up, right?
Ooh, right. And if we're framing the plan.
Holy shit.
Wow. Xander Walkoff Grand Slam. Granted, yeah. Strandings didn't matter, but yeah. Holy crap.
All right. Well, sorry done. About that. But yeah.
No.
Martin Perez, I guess, take his spot.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing a triple digit bid on Didier or Fuentes. And I think it may cost that much to get him. Like, he had a great spring. Velocity was up. It's spring, guys. Didier Fuentes last season pitched 56 innings and he throws 100 miles an hour. Like, I just don't see this going well over the entire season. I just can't. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Whatever. I'm a hater. That's fine. I would not spend $100 on this guy.
He's still 80% rostered in 12s. That's wild.
It's crazy. I don't know.
I'd put bids in on him, but yeah, I'm not
going. Yeah, I would bid on him, but like I'm probably in the $30-$40 range. Yeah,
I'm okay being wrong in that scenario.
Right. Yep.
Kevin A says 15 team keeper, deep 15 man bench, made a bad keeper commitment to Noel V. Marte for how long? Well, we're dropping him. You're in a keeper league, but
yeah, it's a keeper and it's a 15 team bench, so I'd hold there. But in redraft leagues with shorter benches, no IL or whatever, I think Noel V is a drop.
Dr. Doom, which Austin Hayes outfield replacement do you prefer in OCs? Friedel, Dylan Beavers, Johnston, Mullins, Bader, or Dubon? Feels like I'm grasping at straws waiting for Churio to come back.
I think probably Johnston.
Yeah, it's Johnston and not even trying to placate, but Dubon would be my second option. If you're just waiting for Churio to come back, so it's a short-term thing.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
Johnston and Dubon. Ride Dubon while he's playing well. And
I'm good with that.
That's right, go with those. Smokey Joe, because hopefully Churio's back in like two more weeks. Smokey Joe, general question, but in terms of keeping your lower-end starters, how much does it depend on schedule versus skill? Do you prefer to fab through your lower-end starters every week based on schedule or keep what you believe as a better skill pitcher, knowing that you won't start him due to tougher schedule? So basically, do you always just want to have a guy for a good schedule, or do you want to hold the lower end guys type thing?
Yeah, I always lean the skill over the schedule, because the schedule is just it's a weekly thing and you're going to move on. It's hard to accumulate skilled pitchers, certainly in 15 teamers, but also in 12. So the more skill you can acquire, the better. And if you have to sit a good guy for, or who you perceive as a good guy for, a matchup for 1 week, that's fine. But I always try and accumulate skill wherever possible.
Yes, skill's much more preferred, because, like, in 12s you can find it more often. Still not easy. 15's impossible. That's why, like, every week I mention Majinski, I'm like, yeah, it's not great. The skills are really good. So if he can figure it out, like, that's a dude I got on a lot of rosters already, and I don't pitch him every week, but he's there, and when the matchup's right, he's ready to go. So I'd rather have that option and not have to worry about like beating other guys out in fab form every time I can.
Yeah.
Chalupa, that's already, he's just answering a question. Sean Chard, this is why it's so much fun. Sean Chard, how high will Jacob Junis go for in 15 teamers, and what type of share of the Rangers saves do you think he'll have for the next month or two? He should have, I'd probably say, 65-70% of the saves for now.
We talked about that one during
it's the tough to games. Gauge.
I don't know, it's tough. It's
like, tough. I really want to see how because the only reason Wynn got the deal is because Junis pitched back to back, so it's like that saying it's still right. Junis, that's why it's tough to tell right now.
So let's say Junis gets a save this weekend
and no one else gets one.
No one else, let's just make shit up. $90 over under,
over. He's triple digits.
You think over? Okay.
We just saw Stanek and those guys go for
Sands.
Like, Sands. Yeah, Sands. Like, Junis is actually getting the saves.
Okay.
Like, three in 1 week. He's going for, like, 150 plus.
Wow.
There's going to be leagues where he goes over 200, which is crazy to me, but that'll happen. So, yeah, if he gets a save this weekend, like, he's definitely going crazy. I still think he goes over $100 regardless. But if, like, Cole Wynn or – Chris Martin or some Robert Garcia, for crying out loud, gets a save, then things get a little more interesting. Then Sean Chart said, in 12 teamers, who from this list is not just a streamer? McGreevy, Nick Martinez, Elder, Williamson, Lauder, Majinski. Well, I said Majinski earlier, probably Elder for me.
Yeah, I would say Majinski or Elder.
Yep. Those are the skills guys I would keep on. And then Williamson's got a nice stream next week, and he's proven his skills might be pretty good, so he'd probably be third on that list. Chalupa, they're still answering questions. This is good. Timothy, is it too early to fill a last pitcher spot with a high K middle reliever for a week or two? Are you still using that last spot for the two start du jour? This is while you wait for injured starters to return. It's a great question. The way ratios are getting blown up these days, yeah, and the way bullpens are a mess. Like, do you just take this elite ratio guy that might sneak a save here and there and get you a bunch of Ks? I feel it's too early, but honestly, I don't know if it is the way things are going right now.
Yeah, you just have to pick your spots, because it sounds good to use a good reliever and instead of a starter. Over the full season, you're going to miss out on so many strikeouts and probably wins as well. So you got to pick your spots. It's got to be a really tough matchup for your worst starting pitcher to do it. I don't think early, late in the season matters, honestly. It's just how dire is that last pitching spot? If it's truly dire, go for it, but just don't make a weekly habit of it, because you will fall behind in those counting stats. I don't know why I'm giving Lily advice or answering his question. Isn't he first in our Vegas listener league?
Probably. Sure,
I'm like, and I'm like in last.
So Adam Brunchen says, is Jeffrey Springs good start to the season due to changing up something or just on a passing a heater? Thanks. I'm glad you asked this, because I was curious. Do you have anything on this before I maybe ruined it for you?
No, I was looking up the standings. Lily's in first in our league. Sorry. Now, go ahead.
Our good buddy Jake Crumpler, he's tweeting some stuff. He's doing more and more starting pitching stuff for Pitcher List over there. And, of course, you know, the Pitcher List stats pages that come out, he quote tweeted it, because the numbers are really good. Don't know what it all means, but it was good. But Crump says, Springs looks different this year. You can thank the four-seam fastball regaining the shape it had with the Rays, because he was very good with the Rays. Let's not forget that. The changeup feel was never lost, and he has more faith in his slider versus left-handed batters. He's back, and I love him as a streamer when he pitches away from Sacramento. So maybe take a chance with the Texas-Chicago two-step and at Texas. But Jake says he's back to looking like the pitcher that he was with in Tampa Bay, not like the guy he was with Sacramento last year, is what I'm trying to get at.
All right. I like it. Crumpler knows his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows it. So that's why I want to throw that out there. But all right. That'll do it, Ryan. Any final thoughts before we head into our week 4 Fab weekend?
No, man. Good show as usual. Lengthy one, but cover a ton of stuff. So enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Masters watching. Hopefully some of it. And see how it turns out on Sunday evening. I will be on the RotoWire show with Scott Jenstad Sunday night, which is always a treat for me. Usually go on once a year with him. So I will be subbing in for Mr. Erickson Sunday night RotoWire.
That'll be awesome. Let's listen to Bromance live on the air. So that'll be good. Right there.
Might have to get my haircut for that one. This is getting a little
mighty. Collared shirt.
Yeah, haircut. Master's shirt. I'll do the Master's polo, maybe, or maybe the Q zip. We'll see.
Yep, it'll be a whole thing. Yeah, no, we got the Little League Chicken Barbecue fundraiser on Saturday. We're cooking 1,800 chicken halves. So that's what I got coming Saturday. Plus coaching a T-ball game. It's supposed to rain. It's going to be a phenomenal weekend on my hands. And then a birthday party as well. So yeah, no, I got good stuff coming in my direction. Yeah. So
Masters for Bubba this weekend.
Not as much as I like. But then, hey, I got the little one was watching the replay with me today. She was on the couch root. Every time they showed a putt, she was rooting for it to go in, and then she'd clap if it went in. So like she was putting up with it. We'll roll that way. But that'll do it, folks. Enough is enough on this one. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. On Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This was your week 4 Fab preview, Bubba and the Bloom, episode 337. Catch y'all next time.